It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Kutcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, a Sports Hub. It is Kutcher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. We're simulcast on NBCSN. And by the way, enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. That is an excellent event. Great event if you are able to make it to it. And Dan Roach filling in today. Feels extra happy in here.
Yeah, 1 week from opening day.
That's right. You're extremely excited about that. I do know that. You're going down next week.
Yes.
To go see some of the preseason games. But are you gonna go to opening night?
Yeah. So we'll go the final two against the Cubs
at
Fort Myers, which should be pretty cool. And that'll be Monday, Tuesday. And then Wednesday, make our way up to Tampa. Sox will work out Wednesday afternoon and get ready for the opener on Thursday. So we'll be there for that, too. And then come back on Friday.
All right. So you love this team more than almost anybody else that I know. Have you ever been so taken up in Red Sox love that you thought about getting a Red Sox tattoo?
Never.
Never. Did you have any tattoos?
No.
Well, do you have any?
No.
Okay. Dan, do you?
I do.
Oh, I didn't realize you had one. Where?
You know, that's privacy.
Wow. Right above the bikini.
You want to do an over-under on how many I have?
Yeah, I do. Wow.
I'll give you the number. 3.
Under.
Under. I'll go over. You just got a Meow Wolf one.
Dan Roach, you are correct.
Yeah.
See? Over?
Really?
How many do you have?
12.
You have 12 tattoos?
I do.
What? Literally.
Somebody just yelled from down the hall.
I'm not kidding you. If you would have asked me, other than Wallach, anybody on this, the show who would least likely have a tattoo, it would have been you. And I don't know why I would have thought that. But you have 12 tattoos now. How old are you?
I lived in Florida. You got to remember that. Keep that in mind. Yeah. I lived in Florida for many years.
You're born with a half dozen tattoos when you come from Florida. Okay,
bad ones, too, you know. Yeah.
So okay. So how old were you when you got your first tattoo?
16.
Okay. Everything's legal.
17. Well, no, it wasn't legal. I drove to New Hampshire and convinced the guy who I think had more alcohol than I had to do it, and he did a crooked tattoo on my leg. So then I got that covered over.
Okay,
and made another bad decision later on.
What tattoo?
Oh, you should guess what it is.
Okay, it is a Red Sox logo.
It is not.
It is a shamrock.
Irish. How many shamrocks does he have?
That's those are included.
How many shamrocks?
And Rich, I'll give you this one. I'm Catholic.
What is that? I'm sorry.
I'm Catholic as well.
Oh, okay. So you have a Celtic cross. Okay,
of course you do.
We should just do the townie test with you.
How many shamrocks?
Do you like the Boondock Saints?
That's what I want to know.
No. But, okay, so you have a Celtic cross. You have a shamrock. Do you have any other Boston sports logo?
I don't have any Boston sports logos. No.
Ooh, how'd you escape without one of those?
Because I was again living in Florida. I kind of escaped being
during that whole
Southie guy. You know,
okay,
that whole thing.
So. Okay, so but you got 12. Now, how old were you when you got your most? Or how long ago did you get your most recent one?
20 plus years.
Okay, so at some point you just said, I've had enough. Are most of them on your leg?
On my back.
Does it take up most of your back?
No.
Okay, so nothing like that.
What's the one, which one means the most to you?
There is a Celtic cross in the crux of my back. That probably means the most.
Okay. All right. Well, do you...
I'm a recovering Catholic.
Of course.
Aren't we all?
I'm with you. Are you Catholic, too?
Yes, sir.
Look at that. A whole lot of Catholics. Get out of here, Wallach. You're not part of the crew.
Okay. All right.
We're all down with the Pope. All right. So what is going
hashtag
on?
Hashtag Wallach hates the Bruins.
Hashtag Wallach hates the Bruins.
Hashtag Wallach
hates the Celtics. Yeah, Wallach hates the Pope.
Right.
This is interesting because out of all the tattoos you got, what was the one, Dan, that or was there one that you regretted almost immediately?
Don't tell me you didn't get like a palm tree or anything.
No. Was there one that you regretted?
way to go, John. Yeah, you're making friends with that.
Yeah. Was there one you almost regretted immediately?
Not necessarily. No, the one that when I was underage because it was you're in high school,
of course.
Thought it was cool.
Okay,
and then you look at it was like, wow, that was dumb.
Okay,
stupid.
I saw something this weekend. And I don't know if you've seen it as well. So back in a couple years ago, there was a story that came out with Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck had, somebody said that they saw his back, and his entire back had a massive tattoo on it.
and it was of a phoenix, they said. That was the report. So Ben Affleck was asked about this in an interview back in 2016, and he goes, no, that is a tattoo for a movie that I'm going to be in. It's not real. Somebody obviously saw me when I still had my makeup on. However, this past week, pictures have surfaced of Ben Affleck, of him on the beach with his shirt off, and sure enough, his entire back is a gigantic phoenix. Looks like riding a rocket of fire. I mean, it goes all the way down into his bathing suit, up around his shoulders, and takes up the entire thing. That he has in his entire back is covered in ink, and yet he is obviously ashamed of it because he's telling everyone that it's fake. But now it's been confirmed that is indeed real. Can you imagine getting that thing done and then looking and saying, "Oh my God, what
it
have
must
I done?
Take forever.
What have
to get it done?" Right?
That's the thing. It's like one that's that big.
It's got to be multi days or something, right?
I mean, look at it. It's like you got to get that thing like touched up and colored up. I mean, the color doesn't last. You have to constantly go back and do all the thing. All right. Have you 617-779-0985? Because I've got friends who have that this happened all the time. Have you ever gotten a tattoo and immediately said, "That's the worst tattoo. I can't believe I got this thing." Or do you have a tattoo that you regret having? That's
do
on
you
your
have one?
Do I have? I don't, and I have nothing against tattoos.
Yeah, it's just, too. Same thing.
I've always just been in a position where I couldn't settle on the one thing that I wanted on my body for the rest of my life. The only time that I ever got close to doing it, and this was really stupid,
was you got really drunk at the Magic Kingdom.
No, well, see, I was actually half expecting you and not joking. Joking to have a Disney tattoo.
I have Epcot on my right shoulder, and I have the Magic Kingdom in the middle of my back.
Do you really?
Hollywood Studios over on the left.
You have the entire map.
Animal Kingdom right down there. Below.
But by the way, if there's somebody at Disney World that you're near, it's a grown man that has a Disney tattoo, you just immediately move the kids away from them. Like, if they're in line in front of you, they're right. Standing behind you, you are the blocker
step
between
away
no,
from
yeah.
the children.
No. Like, I was in a band for years, so all my friends had tons of tattoos, like entire sleeves and things like that, but I just never seemed to get one. But I remember there was, like, our drummer one time showed up with a tattoo on his leg that had this dude that looked like how 311 used to dress back in the day, like with these big like hoodies and like the hands out, like, "Yo, what's up?" Okay. And underneath it said, "Little 2 minutes." And I went, "Little 2 minutes? What is that?" And he goes, "It's what all my friends call me." I was like, "I've known you for 5 years. I've never once heard you call Little 2 minutes." And he's like, "Yeah." And like by the end of it, everyone was like ripping on him and he felt bad and they wanted the tattoo. So have you ever had a tattoo? Okay, hang on. Let's go to Kyle. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Kyle, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
So I probably should have known that this wasn't a good idea walking in, but my all-time tattoo regret story is I got a tattoo by a buddy of mine in an RV, and it was actually an old PlayStation controller that he turned into a tattoo gun. And, one of those things, young and dumb, and trusted my buddy, and about 30 years old now, and I hate looking at it every day. It's got all kinds of scars.
Hang on. How do you turn a PlayStation controller into a tattoo gun? What did he do? How did he rig it?
So he actually was in jail. That's where he learned it. And then I was his first. I don't know exactly how he did it, but sure enough, I saw the finished product. But yeah, it was a fine craft that he learned in one of the correctional facilities around here.
What do they have PlayStation remotes in prison?
You know what? I don't know about that, but like I said, he went away and came back.
They must. What is it? What did you get the tattoo of?
Well, so it was it's a tribal around the Asian symbol for which means courage,
right?
But the tribal is just it's horrible and unfortunately
it looks like someone threw spaghetti at you.
Yeah, and it's all scarred up, and I came up with a cool badass story of why I scarred up in this, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I was just an idiot.
Okay. You never trust a friend who has converted their PlayStation remote into a tattoo gun. Let's go to Matt.
Just
Matt,
out of prison.
Tattoo right. You immediately regret getting.
Stay connected, boys. How we doing?
What's up, Matt?
So I was 18 years old. My parents were pretty cool. They were like, "All right, we'll buy you a tattoo on your 18th birthday." I was like, "All right, sweet, let's go." We get down to the tattoo parlor. I have a nickname. Everybody's been calling me since I was about 15 years old. So I was like, "All right, I'm going to get my nickname tattooed on my forearm. Sweet." So for 15 minutes before the tattoo, my mom's badgering me so bad. "You really want to get that on your arm? What if you're 30 and nobody calls you that?" I was like, "You know what, Mom? Screw it. I'm going to put my name on my arm instead." So I put Matt on my forearm, and I look down every day, and I hate myself.
In case you forget your name.
In case, yeah, just, oh, I'm Matt. Of course.
That's a great
That's
one.
What my name is.
Hey, your name, please.
This is great.
Show your arm.
Someone said, when tats were still illegal in Massachusetts, my friends used to have tattoo parties. Artists were drunk, and all the tats looked like second grade coloring books. I'm glad I did not take that plunge. Someone tweet says, I have a Fox Racing symbol on my shoulder blade when I was 16 because I was big into ATVs and dirt bikes. I need it covered up. I'm 33 now. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on Toucher and Rich. What's up, man?
Morning, guys. How are we?
Morning.
All right. So I ran into a friend of mine a couple years after high school, and I heard this story about him. The story was a bunch of friends pooled some money together, and they were like, we'll give you this cash if you get a tattoo, whatever we pick. So he says yes. They go, they are a group of like 10 guys all go to the tattoo parlor. He ends up getting, and the tattoo artist does it for free because he thinks it's so funny. He ends up getting a big black penis tattooed on his bicep. I didn't believe the story and lived with it for about 3 years.
That's not good. That is, why would you? And it always is like, oh, somebody dared me. Well, just say no.
I know. It's got to be one of
just
those things.
Just say no.
Where you say 20 years from now, how will this go over?
Right. By the way, the amount of stories of people getting tattoos in New Hampshire underage is astounding. Yeah. Dude, there's just like no, it seems like back in the day, there was like no screening process, Dan. They just said, come out, you got cash, we got you.
Yeah, because they were illegal here in Massachusetts. So all you had to do, if you're making a, well, at the time, you couldn't get liquor on Sunday either. So if you're making a beer run to Nashua, why not stop in at the tattoo parlor on a Sunday, you know, on your way back, and you know, bad things happen.
My band played a show one time in a place that was a barn. Like, it was an actual barn that, except for this Saturday where there was like a bunch of bands playing, there were cattle kept in there. And there were two chairs that were set up in one of the cattle pens. I'm talking, there's still dirt, feces, everything all over the ground. And there was one girl getting a piercing done. And right next to him was a guy getting a tattoo. He's sitting on his chair. Right, and the gun is sitting right next to piles of dirt and animal feces, and he's getting it done. So you know that there's obviously the most sterile of places. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
So I thought it'd be a good idea when I was 18 years old playing hockey. The fad around that time was Looney Tunes, and I ended up getting a pretty tough tattoo, actually two of them. I got Tigger with hockey sticks and a skate, with a hockey stick and skates jumping on my shoulder, and I got Foghorn Leghorn with a hockey stick and skates on my thigh.
What do your friends say to you when they see that tattoo?
What do you mean? My friends had the Tasmanian Devil with a football on his thigh.
I do remember. That was a popular one. The Tasmanian Devil was a popular tattoo. Oh, I remember that growing
sure,
up.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. All right. We'll take more of these. Some of these are great. All right. 617-779-0985.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We were just talking about tattoos people regretted instantly because Ben Affleck, the photo came out. He has a gigantic phoenix taking up his entire back. And let's not keep this gentleman waiting. Calling in with his bad tattoo story, our friend Rob Ninkovich. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? You know I would never have a bad tattoo. Come on, I'm too smart for
that. Okay.
No offense to anybody who has a bad tattoo. I've never had a tattoo, but I have some funny stories about this. I was driving my little girl to school, and I was like, I got to call in and tell these guys some of these stories, because, you know, I listen every day when I drive my little girl to school, and, you know, some funny stuff. So being a professional athlete, right, you see guys with tattoos all over the place. Everyone's got a tattoo if you're a professional athlete, right?
Yep.
So that means you see some really, really, really terrible tattoos. And funny story, when I was at Purdue, they had these guys going around campus, and they would hand out tickets. And if you got a ticket, it was a free tattoo, right? A free tattoo. So being a college kid, you don't have much money. Oh, wow, free tattoo. So I would go with my teammates, and I'd sit in there, and I would look, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, look at this tribal, barbed wire, cool, because it was that time. You know, a tribal was in at that time. So I had this teammate, Ray Edwards, and he decided to get this tattoo that was his whole back. It was a cross. And as he was getting this tattoo, I kept, like, turning my head and looking at it, and it was, I couldn't recognize what it was, and it was the whole cross was crooked across the back. So it was like the right side was low. The left side was high. Jesus was like, looked like just a weird figure, alien figure. And every time I see a new guy get a tattoo, I'd look at my watch and be like, yeah, I think I got a class here.
So
I don't know if I can make it. So needless to say, I walked out. I'm like, hell no, I'm not getting a tattoo here. Free tattoo, that's a terrible idea.
Is your buddy asking you the whole time, like, how's it look? And are you going, yeah, man, good
looks
stuff.
Awesome.
He was excited. He also got another one that had a dog, right? This dog looked like it had mange. It was like the ugliest. It was the ugliest thing. It didn't even look like a dog. It was like a dog slash alien. You know, it looked like one of those like Avatar dogs, like in the wild with the big legs and the crazy face.
Sure. Yeah.
And he put above it, DAT, that dog. Dog in me, and I was like, no,
Jesus,
no, this is terrible. So then, needless to say, in the pros, I've seen so many terrible tattoos. Like, and I won't say names because it could be insulting to some guys that have a portrait of their grandmother on them but doesn't look like a human.
Right, looks like a piece of candy that melted or something. It's like,
what is that? What is that? Or the guys that just get a straight up black tribal tattoo all over them.
Oh, yeah. So just without naming names of someone you played with, who in the NFL have you seen, like a guy you played against, that you saw their tattoos and you're like, that is just as bad as right. It gets?
I'll say his name because we're good friends, but there was a punter for the Giants, Steve Weatherford. He's a huge fitness guy now. I don't know. You could probably look up what he looked like when he had tattoos because he's since removed them all with laser. But he had the blackest tribal from his trap all the way down his arm, like that you could ever imagine. And then he had like, I don't know what he had in the middle of this tribal, but it was like, you know, whatever, where he's from. He's from Terre Haute.
Okay.
You know where Terre Haute, Indiana is?
Yes.
It's like, you know, all hillbillies.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he had something on him like Terre Haute born or something. I'm like,
jeez. So, which, of course, you know, that means something to the rest of the world.
There's another one, DJ Ill Will. Okay. So this guy actually, he's popular now, but years ago, I was at a bachelor party, and this kid is from Illinois. Or he's from Indiana. Sorry, he's from Indiana. He's a friend of a friend, and he was at this bachelor party, and he was living in L.A. So he had an outline of California on one bicep, and the state of Indiana on another bicep, and it said G-O-D-J in L.A. and then in Indiana. And I was like, you have a tattoo of the outline of Indiana on you.
Like, where is this cool? What were you possibly thinking out of all of this?
How could you even look at somebody and be like, yeah, I got Indiana on my right, and I got California on my left?
I've always got to wonder, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I've always got to wonder if you're somebody, let's say you're like Tom Brady or whatever, and you know, there's people who have, I've seen them before, they have Tom Brady tattoos, heck, there's Belichick tattoos. Like, what do you say to a guy who comes up to you and just has a gigantic tattoo of your head on your body? Like, how do you comment on something like that?
I mean, you instantly say to yourself, This is weird, man.
Of course.
This guy's weird. Like, you try and, you know, you make it quick. Let's just put it that way. Like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. You have me on your leg for the rest of your life.
Right. Really appreciate that.
Where's their signing order?
When you're 50 and that's melted into just a big black blob, like, I feel bad for you.
Right, man. All right, Rob. So your daughter has school today?
Oh, yeah, they didn't cancel it today.
Well, then it was smart. They were smart. Right. They figured it
out.
Yeah, you caught a break.
Yeah, that's right. Because I, you know, when she's home all day, I want to go back and play football.
All right, man. Hey, good talking to you, Rob. Call it anytime, all right, man?
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Rob.
Oh, man. Rob Ninkovich calling it. That's the other thing, too, is that people who get their, we've talked to athletes before who you have guys who say, hey, sign my arm and I'm going to tattoo it on there. And I've seen people who have that on there. And, oh, God, who is it we were talking to? He said, somebody told me that one time. So I took up his entire arm with my signature just to see if I would call his bluff on it. And a year later, he ran into the guy and his entire signature was on his arm.
You know, it's another funny story people call in. I can only imagine is like if you're in the locker room or something, you take your shirt off. The guy next to you takes your shirt off. You're like, what is that?
Oh, it's the worst.
Right? It's got to be some tattoos people see. They're like, oh, are you kidding me?
I don't know how some of these people who do that. What's that?
Look.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Everett tattoo.
The Everett tattoo the over your navel is perfect.
It's Bert's cousin with the Everett tattoo across his stomach. But, I mean, there was a long time ago, Adolfo went to go get a tattoo done, and it was... I think we were joking with him one day. We said, tell you what, we had used to have a thing called Prison Letter Tuesday where like prisoners would just write us a letter about what it's life like in jail. And this guy drew a picture of like a skull and it had a banner on it. And I said, all right, Adolfo, I'll buy you an Xbox. And I was joking, completely joking. I said, I'll buy you an Xbox if you get this tattoo on there and you put like couple beers, no beers, chili, which is what the chili guy used to say. And he goes, okay, without even thinking twice. And I'm like, no. I'm joking, Adolfo. He goes, no. If you buy me an Xbox, I'll do that. And I'm like, really? He goes, sure. I said, all right, dude. So we sent him to the tattoo place, and on the air, he was getting the tattoo. Dan remembers this. And the guy says to him, he goes, how do you spell chili? Do you spell it with two L's? And Adolfo goes, yeah, I think so. And he goes,
no spell check. Yeah, no spell check in that tattoo parlor.
No spell check whatsoever. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
That's awesome.
All right, let me go to Pat. We're talking about instantly regrettable tattoos that you received. Pat, is that Pat? Pat, what's up, man? I can't read. Let's see. Paul, I'm sorry. Paul, you're on Toucher and Rich. Oh,
guys, hey.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Guys, hey. Not so much. About 3 or 4 years ago, my wife and I, we moved to Austin, Texas. And within the first week there, we thought it would be a good idea to go down to 6th Street and get some drunken tattoos at 2 o'clock in the morning. And we thought it would be a good idea for us to get anchors because we got married in York, Maine, and there was anchors on our wedding invitation. So long story short, we both woke up the next morning. I now have a massive anchor on my ribs, and my wife, who works a corporate job in downtown Boston, has a massive anchor on her wrist. Literally, probably about one out of every three conversations that we have with a stranger, she gets asked if she's in the Navy.
Okay.
Yes. There you go.
By the way, I want to do, just from the sheer amount of tweets and calls I'm getting about people who are underage when they went up north to go get their tattoos, I want to do a bit tomorrow called I Got Away With It in New Hampshire. What kind of crime did you get away with when you were in New Hampshire? Because it seems like anything goes.
Yes, different world.
They don't breathalyze you, do they, when you go get a tattoo anywhere? I know it sounds weird, but I mean, you can't overserve somebody at a bar. So is there any kind of responsibility? Not that I'm saying there needs to be, but if someone comes in and wants a tattoo, whatever. But
do you sign paperwork too before you have to get it?
That says that I have sound.
I mean, if you're underage, yeah, I think so now. I mean, I know the regulations must be different because Massachusetts, it's now legal. But back in the day, guys, in New Hampshire, you would drive over the border, and that's how you knew you were suddenly in.
Absolutely. Tattoo parlors sailing everywhere.
You're in Seabrook. Yes. Congratulations to tattoo parlors everywhere.
Because everyone has the tattoo that says Seabrook on it. All right. 617-779-0985. Here's John Wallach's headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Dan Roach filling in this morning for Fred. And one last one. Because he says, I'll beat anyone. Mark, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Seriously, like the Looney Tunes with hockey sticks and all that, that's cute. But like, I have like life-ruining tattoos. Like, I can never have a real job.
Really? So what do you have and where?
I mean... the one that I think is most hilarious is I have Rump Tickler tattooed on my hands, which is always fun. Like when you buy stuff at a store and people see that.
Hang on, Rump Tickler, like on the top of your hand?
Yeah, on my hands. Like Rump on one, Tickler on the other.
So like, why did you get Rump Tickler on your hands?
At the time, it was like an inside joke between me and my wife, and I thought it was hilarious. And I used to drink a lot.
So like, okay. Well, that seems to be the explanation for a lot.
Still married?
All right. Are there any other ones? You said you have them all over.
Dude, name it. Me and my brother in law have matching caca stained underwear on us.
Okay.
I have a bad word tattooed on the inside of my mouth and on my arms.
In your mouth?
Yeah, my mouth.
So like, I mean, but people can only see that if you pull your lip out, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
But everywhere else is. Very visible.
Okay. Can you send us a picture of those?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, at Toucher and Rich. Just tweet it to us. I want to see those. Real quick in the other room.
Depressing.
Dan just told us a story about a guy who was on their show when he worked in Florida. And he was a vegan, and he wanted to show like how tough he was.
Tough guy, yeah, he was a tough guy.
And so, what did he say to you?
We took him to a tattoo parlor during the show, and probably woke up the guy that had not gone to bed yet to do the tattoo. So again, on the inside of his lip, he wanted the word vegan, VEGAN, tattooed, and the guy misspelled the word. And so, because he couldn't see, he was upside down.
Now, how did he misspell it?
Sports
The V was a B, so it said...
Began.
on his and he was so proud of himself when he stood up from the chair, and he's like, yeah, and I'm like, dude, that just began on the inside of your lip.
Instead of
congratulations.
Vegan. This is how it all began.
Well, that's nice. So now, you said that he was so not so upset, but he had his own plan to fixing his tattoo.
Yes, he scraped it out with a scalpel.
Oh, that is the most disgusting thing.
Before it could heal. Yeah, before it could heal. There's a couple of days that...
That's
just
the worst. Oh,
congratulations.
All right.
Oh, you work in radio. You earn your living by speaking.
You know what? The biggest shocker of all this was two. We've learned two things that I'm completely shocked by. And if I was honestly, like, had to put, like, money on it, I would have been wrong either way. That you have 12 tattoos is a big shock. And that Bird has none. Bird told
I know. What are the odds of that shock, one? Right?
Bird said that on his birthday, his 18th birthday, him and his parents, like, he brought his birth certificate to go get a tattoo. And, like, the guy, I guess, looked at him and said, nope. I don't know why, but that was Bird's story, which is much like his other stories that don't seem to make any sense. But I guess they turned Bird away. So, there you go. Congratulations.
I wish they turned me away. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, you hide them very well. So, this is something that's just continued to go on over the past, like, I guess it's been ever since the middle of the season that we knew that there was a major problem in the NFL that needed to get fixed. And that is, what the hell is a catch? Ever since Dez Bryant, you know, everyone's wanted to figure out what the hell is one. There's the whole surviving the ground thing that people get thrown out there. But there were certain plays, like the Jesse James one with the Steelers against the Patriots, that got a bunch of people saying, well, we got to do something about defining what this is, changing it, the spirit of the rule. Well, Al Riveron, is it Riveron or
Riveron?
That's right. I always forget. He's the director of officiating for the NFL. He said yesterday that they are going to be discussing this week a new three-step process for determining a catch that the committee is going to recommend to all the owners. It's going to be voted on either today or tomorrow at the big meeting. So there's three steps that will determine whether or not something is indeed a catch.
All right, okay? Here we go. First one.
Number one, control.
Okay.
You have control of the ball.
Yes.
Understood. That's
good.
Easy. Number two, 2 feet down or another body part. I guess I'm assuming like a knee or something.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Knee, butt.
Elbow, whatever.
And number three, a football move such as a third step, reaching / extending for the line to gain, or the third one, the ability to perform such an act. All right, that is, once again, so effing vague. What is the ability to perform?
Line?
It's a football move such as the ability to perform such an act as a third step, or reaching / extending for the line to gain. Okay. Let's just stop with this. First of all, we know what's a catch and what's not a catch. At least I do. I believe that any catch that's bobbled while you're going down, but you end up catching it and the ball does not hit the ground, is a catch. I've got no problem with that. That Jets play should have been a touchdown.
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
That should have been
when
a touchdown.
When he crossed the goal line.
Yep. Yes. And the reason that it wasn't is that while he was in the air, it bobbled in his hands.
As he crossed the goal line.
As he crossed the goal line.
That's when he was bobbling.
But the ball didn't hit the ground, and he had control when he landed.
Correct.
I'm completely fine with that. The one that gets me every time is people are throwing in the Jesse James catch as being something that should be considered a catch.
It should be considered a catch.
It should not.
It's absolutely
he never
a catch.
Made a football move.
He crossed the goal line with control. He
the
lost
ball
it.
Hit
as
the ground.
After he crossed the goal line.
He had it. It was in his hands, and as his feet were down, look at that. And he crosses it, and it hits the ground, and it's gone. If it hits the ground, sorry, it shouldn't be a catch.
Ground can't cause it fumble. Sorry.
Yeah, but see, on
catch.
That one, though, I think that
it was a catch.
If you catch it and you put the ball forward and it goes over the goal, as soon as it touches the plane of the goal line, it should be a touchdown.
No. Going over the goal line, it's a touchdown.
If he would have taken two steps, that's different. Because then it shows he had control.
He made a football
never,
move.
He made a
reached
football
over
move.
The goal
it's
line.
It's like
Dez
Bryant. He took the ball and fell, and it hit the ground.
No, he didn't fall. He knew what he was doing. He was putting it over the goal line.
It's a catch. It's a touchdown. Patriots got benefited in a huge way.
Everybody thought
it's a
that
touchdown.
Was a
once again, the league can't get out of their own way. I mean, there's so many ways where you can specify easily what is and what isn't a catch. But then, when you think you've got a solution, they went and crapped themselves and added this, the ability to perform such an act. What the hell does that mean? That's good enough that's going to make Bill Belichick lose his mind. Once again, they can't get something easy done right. All you need to do, matter of fact, if they just would have taken that away and just did a football move such as a third step or reach in extending for the line to gain, at least then it has it in writing that the Jesse James thing would have been a catch. If you put that in there, I'm fine with that. I don't like that. But right. If that's the rule, that's the rule. And it's easy to determine.
Yes, it's much easier for us to see. As you said, everybody knows what a catch is.
Yeah.
So just define it as best you can and move on.
Yeah, it drives
Make it simple.
It drives me crazy. They can't get out of their own way. Now, the language doesn't have anything like survive the ground is not in there. That's not in there anymore, right. Which I thought was probably the most logical of all of it. It just doesn't hit the ground. You grab that ball, you fall, it doesn't hit the ground, that's catch. But now they have to muck it all up, and now it's once again just as confusing as it was before, and they haven't fixed anything.
And also up for proposal, and this kind of goes along with passing, whether or not one rule that was out there that was going to be changed is the pass interference rule, whether it be a spot foul or a 15-yard penalty. And apparently, according to what I'm reading this morning, owners aren't going to vote on this. They're going to keep it as it is and not make it a 15-yard penalty, which is fine with me.
Because people are going to get mugged. Because they're going to realize that I can let this guy break away.
Well, that's just it. I mean, there's 1 minute left. You have the ball on your own 10-yard line. You need a touchdown to win. If I'm the defense, I'm committing pass interference every single play.
And
forcing you to take much longer to get down the field.
And I'm sick of the college football argument. Well, it works in college football. Well, you don't have the same level of player.
Exactly.
So you can't do that in today's NFL and it be fair and it not lead to dirty play when you're a receiver or a corner.
Right.
I mean, it's going to lead to dirty play on the field, and that's something that obviously they're trying to get rid of because of the integrity of the NFL. Also, on top of that, the Chargers and the Redskins want to make personal fouls reviewable plays in the instant replay system. Oh, that's nice. Reviewing personal fouls. This is a game that already is taking too long and is driving people crazy with the replay. Now they want to make it so you can do instant replay on reviewable on personal fouls. What do these teams not get? It's they can't get out of their own way, the NFL, and it drives me crazy. Let's go with Jason. Jason, you're on Touch and Rich. What's up, man?
Hey, well, when you're on the goal line and a runner jumps over the line of scrimmage, gets over the plane of the goal line, it's instantaneous touchdown, whether or not the ball comes out when he hits the ground.
Because you ran. Because you did a football play before that. You were actually running,
but
and you took a couple
pass.
Seats.
That's a football
but
play.
But if you're falling, you could have it in your hands and fall. That is not a catch if it hits the ground. That's not a catch. Now, if you caught it, stepped three times or two times, and then ran across and it hit the ground, then I'm completely fine with that. But you have to have some sort of football move, because if you just have your hands in the air and you fall and it hits the ground, how do you know it was even a catch and you just weren't directing it towards the ground?
Well, again, that's getting into the fine-tuning of the rule. But I think in general, if you go up and your back is to the end zone and you catch the ball and you have control of the ball as it hits the goal line and breaks the plane, that should be a touchdown. And then you go down to the ground and it pops up.
It hits
I still
ground
think
now.
That's a touchdown.
I don't think it should be. But the NFL does. And the NFL, or I don't know if they
but again,
do. That's
we're already
proposed.
Seeing these rules written and can't get along them.
Yeah, it is strange. They've proposed a bunch of other things that don't really matter as much. Oh, the Broncos want to be able to trade players who are on injured reserve, which is always nice if you're the guy on injured reserve. Just another way to shaft players. They're trying to figure out how to do it. All right, 617-779-0985.
Touch and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Touch and Rich. Thank you for the tweets of your awful tattoos. They're pretty fantastic.
I love the eggs and bacon.
Yeah,
smiley's
pretty good. I know. It's one guy who just had like two cats dressed like Luke and Leia riding a speeder through the woods. Why they're cats, I have no idea. I don't know.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Good decisions that people make. All right, so we were talking a little bit about this earlier, but when I was out of town, that amazing win against the Oklahoma City Thunder with Marcus Morris when he hit that that three-pointer to end the game. This is the call on 98.5 The Sports Hub, which was pretty damn good.
Five-second count begins. Morris has to get it in. Quickly. He does. Bounce pass to Horford. Swings to Tatum. Tatum switches to the right hand. Stumbles in the paint. Kick out Morris. Steps to his right. Three in the air.
Oh!
Got it! He got it! Marcus Morris hit the three. And the Celtics have the lead with 1.2 to go. It really happened.
Somebody shut your mouth. Give me two or three napkins. You can't kill this team unless you stab them in the heart. Burn them, and then have the sun come up on their dead cold body.
Okay, I like that call.
Yeah,
like, as much as I kind of make fun of Cedric Maxwell, that was good. I liked it. It was very.
Brandy gave you all the details.
Great, it was great.
Max gave you the color.
Right. Max did everything.
Yeah. So once again, I was out of town, so this was not one of those games that was on both stations. So it was not on NBCSN as well. Tommy and Mike were not doing that game.
No.
Okay, so you got on TNT was the players only broadcast.
You had Greg Anthony sort of in the play-by-play role, but not really. He was the lead dog. And then you had Rip Hamilton and Kevin McHale sitting next to him, and the three of them just spent the evening just talking.
Okay. So, once again, I've seen them do this before. Most of the time, it's not very good. Yeah, I can't think of a time where I really enjoyed this players only broadcast. Mm-hmm. All right, and this is how they called it.
Ball's in, I guess.
Oh.
Goodness.
Oh, my. Wow.
Okay, so, like, you don't even really know what's going on. Right. I have no idea.
Very descriptive.
Okay, so there's been. Do you like that at all? Do you guys like the players only call? Do you like when there's no Marv Albert? There's no. Who's the guy we love? Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Any sport. I love the call.
Yeah. Okay. And once again, Mike Gorman, one of the most underappreciated play-by-play guys. Yes, Dan.
At the beginning of that broadcast, which, because it was a national game that started at 8 o'clock, I flipped over, and it said players only, and I thought, oh, here we go with 15 minutes of pregame. They were talking, and the ball gets thrown up, and they're going down the court, and all of a sudden Kevin McHale goes, and we're off. Like, no one was paying. It was as if no one was paying attention that there was an actual broadcast going on.
They had no idea who was supposed to talk when. It was just like, we'll just talk, and occasionally Greg Anthony will say, oh, he misses that one.
All right. Well,
couldn't get that one to go down.
Well, I guess there was that was the East Coast game, and afterwards was the West Coast game. Or I'm not even sure if this was the same day, but I was sent this from the Players Only broadcast, and the team of people who were calling the game were Derek Fisher, Brent Berry, and Nate Robinson. And so they have to cover all of the duties of people who do the in and out of commercial, and they do commercial breaks. So here is Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson during the Players Only broadcast. Take it away, Big Nate.
Players Only on TNT is brought to you by Auto Trader. Shop all the cars Shop all the cars all in one place by Verizon, the most awarded network ever. My bad, guys.
You all good, Nate. You all good, Kelly.
Guys. My bad on that one. I'm on my Floyd Mayweather. On my Floyd Mayweather stumbling over my words. Excuse me.
I would actually watch that. Like, if it was just them, like, completely messing up and just tooling on each other, I'd watch that. Like,
I'd watch Floyd Mayweather do live reads.
Oh, don't even make me do it.
That's why I want to hear this.
Don't even make me do it.
Please
do. I mean, listen.
Have you heard this, Dan?
No.
This is Floyd Mayweather, best pound-for-pound fighter in the last 20 years, doing a live read for a radio station.
I don't even. Okay.
You can't find it?
Is this it right here? Here it is.
Listen to this, Dan.
Hang on. Let me see if this is it. I don't know if this is it.
All right, well, let's get into what you really want to do.
No, that's not it. Listen, talk about yourself for 2 seconds. Let's see if I can find it here.
Dan, the guy's a brilliant fighter, has some trouble with the English language occasionally, especially when the words are printed on a page in front of him.
Really?
Yes. Hard to believe, but true.
Okay, here it is.
Does he give the score?
So, what happened was radio station had him on, and they said, okay, we're doing this charity thing. Can you just read this thing? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. You guys, here it is.
I'm Floyd Mayweather. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes movement to support hiring vets. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes movement to support. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show, Your Stripes Movement to support hiring vets. Go to the show, yourstripes.org. Go to the show, yourstripes.org. Go to showyourstripes.org. Go to showyourstripes.org. A website a website that connects veterans with employees and helps businesses. Okay. The website that connects veterans with employees and helps businesses find candidates with the best training.
Right, Floyd, this goes on for another like 45 seconds. I can't listen to it. I mean, it's so painful to listen to him trying to do that. No. See, I would actually listen to like them, because at least Nate Robinson, I like Nate Robinson a lot. At least he was kind of clowning around and like, all right, I screwed that one up, and they all kind of laughed. But it's when they're just sitting there, and like, I mean, that the best is like there's a huge play going on, and you just hear, ooh.
Hey, wow,
you're moving me there.
But again, that's where you need the play-by-play guy. You can talk to all three guys and have them set up what might happen. That's the fun part of this stuff.
You go.
What are you going to do? What are you looking for? Who's going to do what? And then at least you have like that Mike Gorman to sit there and say, here's the play, and boom, got it. And then you guys can go.
I've said this before when people call in, and we get complaints sometimes. Not about Mike Gorman. I don't think anybody complains about Mike. Mm-mm. Tommy, sometimes, because they, you know, the ultimate home, but I find that it's funny. Yeah. I think the best play-by-play, local play-by-play teams have the great color guy and a homer. I like having a homer sitting there. I think it's fine. It's entertaining. It's what makes it your local broadcast. But people call in about Jack Edwards. They'll call in and complain about some of the other TV that, you know, even Remy and Orsillo when he was here. For some reason, a couple people didn't like Orsillo.
He laughed too much. He and Remy broke themselves up, like when Dan told that great joke earlier. Break themselves up.
I tell people, go to other markets. Go to other markets and see what's on there, and you'll realize just how good you have it. Just how good you have it, even on the radio side of things, when you've got Sosi and Zolak. People, sometimes, mess with Zolak because he gets too into it. I like that.
Right.
I like having a guy who gets that into it.
That's what you want for your area. That's fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad ones though out there. Just go to a different market other than Boston, and maybe there's two that might be as good, and everywhere else, for the most part, it is.
We're blessed.
You know, we are blessed, aren't we, Dan?
With that. You know what I mean? With those play-by-play guys.
And I'm too blessed to be stressed.
All right.
And I'm too legit to quit.
Right.
Yo.
What am I, up in the swamp? What am I supposed to say? Up,
smooth up.
Smooth up and womp ya or something. I don't know.
Smooth up and womp ya.
What was the
smooth up in ya is the bullet boys
would
say.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No.